Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, doing deep Prajnaparamita, clearly saw emptiness of all the five conditions, thus completely relieving misfortune and pain. Could say completely relieving distress, suffering, and of course the consequences of harming, being harmed. The sutras, the gathas, all to enable us to be who and what, to support us in being, doing who and what we are. Otherwise, just jabbering and dogs barking. Avalokiteshvara. Many of you know Avalokiteshvara is a Sanskrit name for the Bodhisattva that we all so call Anan. We also call Kuan Yin, also call Kanzeon, sometimes called Kanji Zaibo, Kanji Zaibo Sadyo. That's how it begins in Japanese, pronouncing the characters. Kanji Zai, free, unrestricted seeing. So it's the Bodhisattva that sees the wisdom of reality. Kanzeon, another name, is the one who hears the cries of suffering, the cries of the world, the cries of the universe, and responds compassionately. Of course, all these names are just your name, our name, except that we don't know who we are. Worse than that, we believe all our thoughts and entanglements and act out of those. So we have Sutra Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva doing deep prajna paramita, deep prajna, shallow prajna, plain prajna. Prajna is not something extra, though we turn it into something extra. Prajna paramita is the wisdom that we are, not something you need to go get. You don't even need to do prajna in order to clearly see the emptiness of all the five conditions. Because you are the emptiness of all the five conditions. Five conditions are nothing but our name. So, being, seeing, or hearing is being the functioning of what we are from the beginning, which is why we can do something like sesshin. What is sesshin? It's being exactly who and what we are. Talking about it is extra, but since that's part of the way we do sesshin, I must talk. We must recite, chant, So we say such things, Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, doing the Prajnaparamita. Don't get caught. Deep prajna, shallow prajna, simply the seeing, hearing, waking up in the morning, laying down at night, falling asleep. Every activity is always the functioning of this deep prajna paramita. Not because you're doing sashimi. A person walking down the street, maybe even a little drunk and singing, the prajna paramita. And yet, we're blinded. So, Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, in a sense, is only coming there to assist us, clean up after we've gotten drunk and stood in the corner, excuse me, and taken a piss. Pissing and shitting is the prajna paramita functioning. That's doing deep prajna paramita. Seeing the emptiness of all the five conditions, thus relieving misfortune and pain. So unfortunately, much of what we do is so entangled, so our life is one of misfortune, pain, harming, suffering, causing harm, believing being harmed. So what is it? It's always coming back to being this bodhisattva functioning that we are. Which is why, as I say, it's so simple for us to do sashin. Sitting and breathing. Aching after long sitting. Getting up, walking in the zendo. That's the functioning of prajnaparamita. Not because you intend it to be so. Not because you do it in some special way, but in the very functioning of the universe is revolving this prajna wisdom. Don't fool yourself. You're not going to gain anything from practice. Don't fool yourself. You're not going to lose anything. And yet, must do zazen, must practice, because otherwise we create all sorts of troubles, and we know we do. So, it's almost like we have to penetrate to being who we are in order to be who we are from the very beginning. So, form exactly empty, empty exactly form. Emptiness is exactly the form. Exactly, exactly. If it's exactly, then it means that there's nothing too much and nothing too little, nothing extra needed. And yet we discover throughout our life ways we think we have too much or too little or something. Forget about thinking about what we have too much or too little. We've got all sorts of ideas about others having too much and too little. And then we get in trouble. See, how could we be the bodhisattva that sees unrestricted freely, that hears, and yet we hear, the Kanzeon hears, Kanji Zai hears the sounds of suffering. Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, doing deep Prajna Paramita, clearly saw the emptiness of all the five conditions, thus relieving suffering, relieving harm, relieving for not particularly for themselves, but for everyone whom they encounter. In order to enable suffering, harming to cease, so to speak, when it arises, as it arises. Of course, it only arises because we misperceive and misunderstand who and what we are, who and what the world is, who and what is needed. Because then, entangling in thoughts, caught in self-centered dream, what happens? All sorts of hells break loose between us and others, between others and each other, between us and ourselves. That's where suffering, harming occurs. We know it. Not because I'm telling you, not because the Heart Sutra says it, but we notice where we're disturbed by circumstances, by thoughts, our own thoughts, and we're disturbed. We're hindered by our own thoughts. Of course. Hindered and doing hindering things, so to speak, for others. That's a reminder to encourage us to practice exactly how and where we are, which is why it's so easy to do session, which is why it's so hard to do session. Easy. I won't say how easy. You've heard all sorts of many examples. If you try to strike the earth, you can't miss it. That's how easy it is. You can't miss it. Can't miss it. And yet, we miss what's right in front of our face. We miss the nose that's right here. Though we're breathing through it, we can miss it. So we do the simple being this moment. We say being just this moment. We don't even have to say just being this moment. And yet we must say just, because right away, this moment, well, I've got to add, what about that thing out there? Well, just this moment. What about the thoughts that I'm having? Just this moment. What about I'm so upset about him? I've got to think about that. Look, just this moment. What about they did to me yesterday? What about tomorrow? What? Endless ways we get in trouble despite the fact that we are nothing but this bodhisattva, this Prajna Paramita. See, bodhisattvas just doing what and who they always are, not something extra. Not something extra. Dogen Zenji, Master Dogen, has many of you know, 13th century Japanese Zen master, one of those who transmitted Zen from China to Japan. He has a number of nice texts, and one of them I'm going to bring up is called Shoji in Japanese, birth, death, birth, death, which opens up with the following. This is one translation. Translations, of course, we're translating 13th century Chinese or Japanese, depending upon the text, into English. First, that's translated into modern day Japanese. So, but be that as it may, because a Buddha is in birth, death, there is no birth, death. This is a quote that Dogen is quoting, an earlier Chinese master. It is also said, because a Buddha is not in birth, death, the Buddha is not deluded by birth, death. Because a Buddha is in birth, death, there is no birth, death. Because a Buddha is not in birth, death, the Buddha is not deluded by birth, death. We look at a slightly different English translation of the same text. There is no life, death, when the Buddha is within them. When there is no Buddha within life, death, we are not deluded by them. These are, as I said, quotes from two earlier Chan masters in China. One was named Gassan, in the Sino-Japanese ways of pronouncing the name. The other's named Tozan. No birth, death, or life, death, when Buddha is within them. No birth, death. How can we say that? What does that mean? What about when there's no Buddha within life, death? Not deluded by birth, but death, by life, death. Not deluded. Not deluded is what creates, results in suffering, not deluded, not deluded, and yet can't help but be deluded because we're deluded over and over. And yet, because Buddha not in birth, death, the Buddha is not deluded by birth, death. What is this deluded by? What is this birth, death? This is, in a way, a fundamental issue that we all encounter. Life, death, having, not having, being, not being. In a way, this is the fundamental encouragement and fundamental fear that gets us both to practice and also keeps us from practicing, because it entangles us in all sorts of ways as a result of our fears and connections. Fears, connections, contraptions that we create related to birth, death. In other words, to related to life and losing so-called life. But Dogen is wanting us in bringing these older quotes up. These quotes are from the, 8th, 9th century China, late Tang, early Song. I'm just guessing on the years. But birth, death is the life of Buddha. What does that mean? Birth, death, life of Buddha. If you try to exclude it, you will lose the life of Buddha. In other words, if you think practice is about going somewhere other than life, death, life in all the myriad ways that it manifests, death in all the myriad ways that it manifests during our life, so to speak, and so-called in what we consider so-called afterlife. But if you cling to it, trying to remain in it, you will also lose the life of Buddha. See, birth is birth of the Buddha, or life is life of the Buddha, death is life of the Buddha. This is not so simple, because he says, this is the reason birth is understood as no birth, death is understood as no death. In birth there's nothing, or in life there's nothing but life, in death nothing but death. Accordingly, and this is important, when life comes, when birth comes, face and actualize life. Actualize life. That's the fundamental point of our practice. Actualize exactly where and what we are. When death comes, face and actualize death. Do not avoid them or desire them. Not avoiding, not desiring is the fundamental encouragement of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, this deep Prajna Paramita, because of this, if we use the word emptiness of all the five conditions, means the fullness of each condition, each moment. No hindrance, therefore no beyond fear, far beyond deluded thoughts. This is nirvana. This is nirvana. If we can remember that as our simple practice phrase, then we can take care of whatever comes up, whatever arises as our life. Or, as the phrase that I encouraged you when we talked about what Joko said, pick up that phrase. Thanks for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. Right here, right now. This very body, body of the Buddha, this very place. The pure land, the wonderful land. The opportunity for us to manifest and do what's skillful in terms of the universe's circumstances that come together right now as our life circumstances. Our life circumstances, physical so-called circumstances, mental so-called circumstances, my so-called circumstances, someone else's so-called circumstances. All of that is the simple opportunity of this experience, this zazening. Being just this moment. If we're not blinded by I like, I dislike, I should, I shouldn't, it's his fault, it's her fault, it's theirs, it's mine, it's not mine. That's called self-centered dream. That's what Avalokiteshvara sees clearly. Of course, seeing clearly is the most ordinary thing. You open your eyes and you see clearly. You don't even open your eyes and you see clearly. Wake up in the morning, see clearly. Sleep. There's clear seeing, clear hearing, clear, profound practice, deep prajnaparamita. When you're sleeping, sleep. Of course, caught in self-centered dream, and we miss our very life. And we think the self-centered dream is going to help us. That's the reason we do that. That's why we become caught in that. Because we believe sincerely, certainly, this dream, these thoughts, this that I'm going to do because of what she, he, they are or are not, is going to take care of my suffering, their harming, my harming, their suffering. If we just notice those, if we are exactly where we are, life is life for the Buddha. Death is life of the Buddha. Life of the Buddha means the life of the universe. We're not talking about some Buddha somewhere else, or much less a Buddha on the altar. That's a form of Avalokiteshvara on our altar. Myriad forms of Avalokiteshvara, not just on the altar, but everyone who sits in the zendo. Everyone you meet in the supermarket. All the drivers on the highway, despite the fact that they're not driving in the way that you know they should. Myriad bodhisattvas on the highway. Myriad bodhisattvas walking down the path in all the forms of being human. And yet, we know very well harming and suffering results in our life and life of others. So we must do our practice, but we must do it clearly. Though we never needed to do it from the beginning, no need. That's why we do it. If we did it because there was a need for it, then we'd fail miserably all the time. Failing miserably. Right there is a wonderful practice. So, all of you wonderful bodhisattvas doing sesshin here, doing your life practice, please take good care. Be this Avalokiteshvara, the one who hears, sees clearly the nature of the universe and all the myriad beings. And hears the cries of suffering of the whole world, which is ourself. The cries that result from suffering, harming, because we don't see and be who we are. All we have to do, therefore, is see and be who we are. And we take care of our little edge of the whole universe, and the whole universe manifests from the beginning. Life is life for the Buddha. Death is life for the Buddha. Thank you.